thank you for being here tonight. If something I really feel God wants you to hear tonight. If you turn your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel chapter 18. Feel like just sometimes everywhere you turn, something's coming in on you. Do you get sick of it sometimes? God wants us to be aware of things, folks. Come on. You ever see somebody just trips over everything because they don't pay attention where they're going? You just shake your head sometimes, you know. Really? 2 Samuel 18, verse 6 and 8. So the people went out into the field against Israel. And the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. Think about that. But listen to this. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country. Listen to this. And the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. The woods killed more people that day than the sword. Lord, right now, I love you, God. I feel your presence here right now. And God, I pray that you'll help us to hear your word tonight. I pray, God, that you'll speak to us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Anoint your servant, I pray. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. Your surroundings can be a battle or a blessing. Your surroundings can be a battle or a blessing. Folks, understand something tonight. God did not create us to live separately and independently of each other. Come on. God likes it when his children care for each other and nurture each other. And I believe sometimes God is frustrated. You ever think, is God frustrated sometimes? I think God is frustrated sometimes when we sulk and we feel sorry for ourselves. I think God sometimes wants to go puke. Is that okay? Huh? I believe he gets really frustrated at us when we want to just sit around and feel sorry for ourselves, and we want to sulk and just boohoo. And when we do that stuff, sometimes we make everyone else feel responsible for our happiness. God wants us to be active members of the family of God. God wants us to get our life from him. You know why God desires for us to get our life from him? Because, listen to me tonight, folks, an isolated person seeks only his own desire and not God's. An isolated person receives no counsel and sets himself up for deception. When you look in this chapter, the second chapter of 2 Samuel, we find that the king of Israel has been divided. The kingdom of Israel has been divided, and it's between King David and his son Absalom. A great battle was engaged because of division. Folks, that's the devil's game plan. Division. He wants to cause division in the church family. The family, folks, is the building block of the church. It's called unity. Jesus said in Mark chapter 3, verse 25, "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." I fear, can I get some more monitor here? And I hear a lot of house out here. The passage of the scripture tells us that, 20,000 men were slain. Why? Because of this division of the kingdom of Israel. But understand, folks, the Bible says in verse 8, in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 8 says, "For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured." More people, folks, died because of their surroundings than there those that were killed by the sword of the enemy. Folks, what God is saying here, amen, tonight, I pray you hear me tonight. This is the same way it is in the world today. The reason that people are not coming to God is not because they are fighting God. Not because they're fighting against God. Or even the fact that they don't want to know God. It is because the reason that they're not coming to God and being saved, it is because they are too entangled in their surroundings. Come on. They're too entangled. Everywhere you look, there is something, folks, to entangle you. The temptation of money, the temptation of lust, the temptation of pride, the false sense of security that the devil is selling to people today is the surroundings in their life that is keeping them from God. You don't have to look hard to see our surroundings are perilous. The world tells us that our surroundings dictate our response. But let me tell you what God says. God tells us that our response dictates our surroundings. You may have been an alcoholic all of your life, but when you respond to the Spirit of God, God will change your surroundings. You see, the name Ephraim, it means the place where the battle was fought. I'm sorry, it means that it is the place where the battle was fought, but it means increasing. Increasing is means ever growing and enlarging itself. Ever growing and enlarging itself. Think about something. When you look at how the Bible compares heaven and hell. Heaven is 1,500 miles square. And the Bible says it has boundaries. But listen, folks, the Bible says a lot about hell as having enlarged itself and opened her mouth without measure. Do you know what the Bible is saying here when it talks about it? What it is saying is heaven has boundaries, but hell does not. So in order to go to hell, you don't have to live by any kind of guidelines. You can do nothing, folks, and go to hell. But in order to get to heaven, there are guidelines that we must obey. Amen? Starting out with Acts 2:38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That just opens the door. If that's all you ever did, you ain't going to heaven. First four books of the Bible tell you what Jesus did on this earth, his birth, his life, and his death. Amen. Acts tells you how to be saved, but the rest of it tells you how to stay saved. You see, the devil is flooding our society with more and more things to get us caught up with in this world. In Isaiah 59 verse 19, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against it." Do you feel like there's a flood coming in today, folks, in our lives? But I'll tell you what. You know where the standard is? It's the church of God that says we will not bow. We will not kneel. We will stand for God. Hallelujah. But let me tell you how the devil's changed the standards. He's changed his methods a little bit in this generation. You see, folks, he's not blatantly trying to just pull us into hell anymore. He's just trying to make us forget about hell. Come on. And he wants us to forget about God. He wants you to get so busy that you don't think about God. He wants you to get so busy that you don't think about, if I'm not living right, I'll go to hell. Come on. See, he knows that if he can blind us by our surroundings, that we will not realize the need for God. Come on. I said not realize it. Well, I still love God and I'll miss this service. I just got things to do. Let me tell you something. You better make a decision in your life who comes first. You better have some priorities in your life. Come on. See, what the devil's trying to do, he's trying to flood our minds so that we will not be conscious to our need of God. It's like the old saying, folks. You ever heard the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees? Satan does not want us to be able to see hell because we're blinded by our surroundings. Folks, we must, hear me today, we must to be careful of what we get entangled in our surroundings. Everywhere you look, there's something to entangle you. Let me tell you something. The Bible speaks of many different spirits. It speaks of an unclean spirit in Matthew 12. It speaks of a lying spirit in 1 Kings 22. It speaks of a tormenting spirit in Matthew 4. It speaks of a spirit of infirmity in Luke 13. It speaks of a spirit of fortune telling in Acts 16. It speaks of jealousy, a spirit of jealousy in Numbers 5. It speaks of an evil spirit in Judges 9. It talks about familiar spirits in 1 Samuel. It talks about a haughty spirit in Proverbs 16. A perverse spirit in Isaiah 19, a spirit of whoredoms in Hosea 4, a dumb spirit in Mark 6, a foul spirit in Mark 9, a spirit of fear in 2 Timothy 1, a spirit of the Antichrist in 1 John 4, a spirit of error, amen, in 1 Corinthians 12, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, seducing spirits in 1 Timothy 4, spirits of devils in Revelation 16. You see, what are you saying, Pastor? Also, you can see it everywhere, folks. Rebellion. Rebellion against God, rebellion against God's standards, rebellion against God's authority. Rebellion is an open door to demonic bondage. Rebellion is an open door to the demonic in a person's life. Now, the Bible strictly warns us against rebellion. And it is, and its consequences are not to be taken lightly. In God's word, it tells us that rebellion is in the same category of sin as witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15, 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. He's talking to Saul here. You see, the word seems, the world seems determined, folks, to pursue every kind of sensual pleasure there is. And distortion of the way God intended for humans to live. You see, this kind of behavior, today it is encouraged Today, it is celebrated. But regardless of what culture may say about it, I'm telling you tonight, the Bible calls it disobedience. And it even creeps into the church. I don't need to listen to the pastor. I don't need to get involved. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. Well, you just go right on don't need to do stuff and see if you don't need to go to heaven. Paul refers to it as in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, in which you used to live, you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Hear me. The spirit, there's a spirit of rebellion. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You go right on being disobedient. I'm telling you, there's spirits that tag along with a lot of things. See, Paul's choice of words here, disobedience, it carries an important implication. It says that God is our rightful master. Folks, we need God's guidance for every area of our life. Financial decisions. You need God's guidance for marriage decisions. You need God's guidance for business and education and anything that concerns us. You need to have God involved. Something, you see, sometimes we're going in the right direction, but the timing isn't right. Come on. There's sometimes you make a decision, you want to go this way, but it's not the right time. That's why you need God involved. God not only knows what we should do, but how and when as well. Amen? See, some choices may be right from our perspective. But if they're not in God's will, you're going to regret it eventually. But see, folks, if we neglect God's divine leadership and we insist on going our own way, the Lord will let us face the consequences. Why? Until we finally repent and turn back to Him. When we refuse to consult God and are determined to go our own way, we can expect things like confusion. I'll say that again. When we refuse to consult God and are determined to go our own way, you can expect things like confusion. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, you start to question our decision and wonder if we made the wrong choice. You see, God's actions at the Tower of Babel, they demonstrate how He brings, listen to me. I said, God's actions at the Tower of Babel demonstrate how He brings confusion. And when we make decisions apart from Him, God brings confusion. Not only were their plans frustrated, but God accomplished His will despite them. And they scattered all over the face of the earth. Folks, I'm telling you, we got to understand we need God. God's not playing games here. You go ahead and make your decision without God involved and watch the confusion come in your life. And you know what else happened? If you don't include God, conflict's going to come into your life. We'll experience internal conflict, folks, when the Holy Spirit gives us a sense of uneasiness, a sense of inadequacy and doubt over a course of action. There's a cost comes with not allowing God to be a part of your life. It's called disobedience. It's always, folks, it is always costly when we don't do the right things at the right time and the right way. And you always have a loss involved. You see, we will experience loss at some point in our lives, whether emotionally or physically, maybe even financially. And then with all that comes regret. God chooses the best direction. God chooses the best time. And God chooses the best way. We know that, right? So if we go on in opposite directions, folks, and we don't wait for His timing, and we do it our own way, we will miss His best and suffer deep regret. And then when you get all that, pain usually comes. You see, we may experience physical pain as a result of our disobedience, but the worst pain, folks, is that which comes emotionally. And as we look back at our choices, we will be filled with thoughts of, if only I'd have done this, or if only I'd have done it that way, or if only I'd have done that. And then a lot of times it turns into a disaster. Come on. It could come to us financial disaster or emotional disaster or in countless other ways. But the result of disobedience is always disastrous because we didn't follow the Lord. And then sometimes God has to bring discipline. Right? If we will not listen and obey God, He will discipline. You see, His goal is that we learn to trust in Him and with all of our heart instead of leaning on our own understanding, as it says in Proverbs 3. Only then will if we repent, He will make the path straight again. Folks, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, if He is your God, shouldn't you seek Him regarding every decision? You see, He loves us. Do you believe God loves you today? Do you believe He understands our weaknesses? Amen? Folks, He knows what is best for us and how to accomplish it. Amen? And He, folks, He alone can save us from pain and trouble that could result from our own self-directed path. Now, when He directs our ways... what He does is He ensures that everything works out according to His plan because He has the power to accomplish that plan. He has it. It's all in Him, is it not? The Bible also talked about the spirit of fear. You know, you can't serve God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The Bible says, does it not? So if you don't have faith, what do you have? Fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We live in a world where there's not too many sound minds right now. I thank God for a sound mind. So why wouldn't I want to do it God's way? Come on. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Bible says this, that when we are saved, we will be, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "When we are saved, we will be, but ye shall receive power." For what? "After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be," what? "Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." You know, one time, have you ever heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham, there was a survey done at one of his, a survey was given to those attending a training session for Billy Graham's crusade in Detroit one time. And one question was asked, "What is your greatest hindrance in witnessing?" What is your greatest hindrance in witnessing? Think about it right now. I'll give you a second. Listen to this. 9% said they were too busy to remember to do it. 28% felt the lack of real information to share. None said they didn't really care. But 12% said their own lives were not speaking as they should. But by far the largest group, listen to this, were the 51% whose biggest problem was the fear of how the other person would react. 51% said they were afraid of how the other person would. You know what that tells me? They're full of pride. Well, I don't want somebody to laugh at me. You know, people say I'm bashful. That's pride. What if I get up there and I sing and I mess up? Then I'm going to be embarrassed. Oh, my gosh. This is hard to step. This is a hard step, folks, because of fear. People are afraid to talk to other people because of fear. He said, I don't give you a spirit of fear. So if you have fear, it ain't of God. Come on. Folks, it's a hard step because of fear. It is a realistic fear. It is a difficult thing. Fear of rejection. Fear of embarrassment. Labeled as a fanatic, thought of differently, not liked. That's what people are afraid of. Fear is of rejection, embarrassment, labeled as a fanatic, thought of as different, not like anyone anymore. I'm afraid they won't like me if I talk to them. We don't want these because we are proud. I'm talking to you today about a spirit of fear. You see, the spirit of fear, folks, will keep you also in other areas. It's going to mess with you. The devil doesn't want you to witness to your neighbor. The devil does not want you to witness to your coworker. The devil does not want you to witness to your family member. Well, what if they won't like me? What if they call me a name? What if they call me a holy roller? Spirit of fear. Do you think God is pleased with that? Let me tell you what else the spirit of fear will do. All right, put your seatbelt on. I'm going down it tonight. The spirit of fear will keep you from giving your 10% tithes. You want me to park here for a bit? Better amen me. The spirit of fear will keep you from giving offerings. The spirit of fear will keep you from paying your building fund pledge. Here, God, I'm going to write this out. I'm going to pay this every month. Some of you I get maybe one check out of you or one payment. You told God you'd do it. Huh? Yeah, it is quiet in here. I said the spirit of fear will keep you from paying your tithes, your offerings, and your building fund pledges. Malachi 3, 8 through 11 says, will a man rob God? Listen to that. Will a man rob God? What would you think if somebody went in there and took the offering? Wouldn't that be bad? But we'll do it by not paying tithes. We'll do it by not giving our building fund pledge that we said we'd give. We'll do it by not putting anything in the offering plate. Will a man rob God? He says, yet ye have robbed me. Now, I hope you don't think I'm just doing this here because we need money, because we're all right, okay? But I want you to have blessings. And I'm going to show you here a little bit why I want to encourage you to give. And don't let the fear of spirit keep you from your blessing. He says, but ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have you robbed thee? He said, in tithes and in offerings. Ye, listen to this. This is terrible. Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And that's not, he's not done. Then he says this, and I will rebuke the devourer. For who? For your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Listen to me tonight, folks. Not giving your 10% tithe, offering, and building fund pledges makes you a thief. Anybody here like a thief? Not giving your 10% tithe and offering and building fund in your pledges, you get a curse. You're cursed with a curse. The Bible just said that. I read it to you. When you don't give your tithe, your 10% tithes and your offerings and your building fund, you know what it says? It brings the devourer into your life. But here's what verse 10 goes on to say this. It says, if we give, he will bless. If we give, he will bless. How many like to be blessed? Is there anybody here? Only half of you? Come on. Anybody here like to be blessed? Here, listen. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many like that? Does anybody like that tonight? Now let me fix that for you. The sufficiency of this promise is the riches of God for all my needs. You know what it says? God promises to supply all of your needs according to, not out of, but according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What are you saying, Pastor? What is astonishing about this promise? The God who owns the whole earth says that he will meet our needs if we give faithfully. And it is a blessed thing to know, folks, this in your experience as you watch him do it. Now, I looked this up. It's called the Adam Clark's commentary about Philippians 4:19. And what it's saying there, when it says that part, it says, my God shall supply all your need. This is Paul did this, okay? Paul wrote this. As you have given to me in my distress. This is Paul talking to the Philippians. As you have given to me in my distress, God will never suffer you to want without raising up help to you as he raised you up to help me. My God shall supply all your needs as you help me. In other words, as you gave. And then it goes on to say, according to his riches, his fullness is infinite. And through Christ, folks, whose followers we are, right? Amen? He will dispense every requisite. Did I get it out? Blessing of providence, grace, and glory to you. Folks, there's probably no more accurate gauge of your spiritual life than your giving to the Lord's work. Hear me again. I said there's probably no more accurate gauge of your spiritual life than your giving to the Lord's work. And I'll back that up. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. Oh, I guess I'm going to give it. Or of necessity. Well, if I want to sing up here, Pastor expects me to pay my tithes. Listen to this. Here's what God likes. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Hear God, I want to bless your kingdom. One translation says, a hilarious giver. Do you give 10% tithes, offerings, and building fund pledges grudgingly? Do you give it under pressure? If you do, then you're not focused on God's abundant grace in your life. If you give grudgingly, then you're not focused on God's abundant grace in your life. Are you hit and miss about your giving? Doing it once in a while, but not systematically? Then you're probably not faithful in your other disciplines of Christian life, such as devotions. Are you stingy and tight with your giving? Then your love for the Lord is probably cold and sterile. Folks, do you religiously give 10% and take pride in it? I pay my tithes, bless God. Then you're probably legalistic in your spiritual life. Judging yourself, judging others by the performance of certain duties, rather than by a heart of love for God. The reason, hear me, the reason your giving is pretty good gauge of your spiritual life is this, that your heart is bound up with your treasures. Jesus taught us in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, if you want your heart to be what the Lord desires it to be, put your money in the Lord's work. If you want your heart to be in this evil world, put your money in the things of the world. It's a simple principle, folks, to say. It's a simple principle to say you should pay your tithes. It's a simple principle to say you should give to the house of God. Right? But it's not always to live it, easy to live it. Put your money, lay your treasures up in heaven. Amen? To give generously to the Lord's work requires that you believe that there is really a heaven ahead of you. And since you plan to spend eternity there, put your money over there on the other side in advance, and where it is earning interest in heaven's bank and awaiting your arrival. See, Jesus called it, he said this, lay up your treasures in heaven. In Matthew 6. I'm going to go down another road tonight. Okay? I'm going to go down another road. We'll talk about the media, TV, Hollywood. Media is in the life of the average person every day. From the moment they wake up until the time they go to sleep. Listen to me. Listen. Let me tell you the statistics here. According to the U.S. Census Bureau statistics, the average American spends 10 hours a day absorbing themselves in some form of media. Whether it is reading a magazine, listening to the radio, watching TV, or surfing the internet, the media we put in our minds can significantly alter our thinking. Have you ever been with a person for an extended period of time and you notice certain things about the way they talk? Maybe they swear a lot. Isn't it long before those words start to influence us? We start to develop many of the same traits. Let me tell you something tonight. Here's a revelation. Everybody ready for a revelation? Words are spirits. Oh, you're quiet on me. The very word spirit means breath. What spirits do you listen to every day? Come on. Are they spirits of life, or are they spirits leading to destruction? You know what John 6:63 says? The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. There is no doubt, folks, that the vast majority of things coming out of Hollywood are hostile to the scriptures against God. The whole idea of magic is against God. Oh, you're quiet. Thank you, some of you that are speaking up. Isn't it, it sure isn't the name of Jesus that is making those things happen in that magic, right? The God, you know, the fairy godmother and Tinkerbell and all those other characters, it is, they're not using God's name to call on that stuff, is it? Are they? Revelation 21, verse 8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Folks, these things that you see, when you see those magical things, that's wickedness. Well, they try to make it look pretty. They try to make it look fun. But let me tell you something. The devil understands one thing. People are looking for power. And there's a lot of Christian religiosity today that has let people down. These things are wicked in God's sight, yet children are allowed often to encourage to view this kind of stuff. If you're a parent here today and you want to see something on about what children are messing with, see me. I'll text you something. It'll knock your socks right off. Some of the stuff that people put out there. Anybody here ever watch He-Man, Masters of the Universe when you were a kid? Come on. Look at it. From the power of Grayskull. I'm sorry. I sent that to my cousin. He used to watch it religiously as a kid. It killed him. Even those little rainbow horsies with that pretty little hair. You better be watching what your kids are messing with. Children are allowed often and encouraged to view this kind of stuff. And most shows, most movies that depict lust and nudity and sex and gay lifestyle and lying and disrespect and hate and witchcraft and occult and violence and sin as pleasurable. I got something I'll give you too if you want to look on. If you're an adult here and you like your movies, talk to me. I'll send you something to knock your socks off. It's wicked. All these same things are in much of the music that people listen to. Folks, be careful of the news media. There is fake news promoting many wrong agendas out there. Before watching anything, I ask you tonight to ask yourself this. What kind of spirit am I going to bring into my home? What kind of spirit am I bringing into my heart and my mind? Many movies even have sin written over their titles as a selling point. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm telling you tonight, be aware of the subtle ways of the serpent with his subtle messages that quench the spirit. Think about something tonight, folks. Think about this. Television. Tell-a-vision. Tell-a-vision. And then when you turn it on, you're looking for programs. And then you go through the channels. You ever heard of in witchery, witchcraft, all that stuff? Channels, programs, see visions, tell a vision. But we do have a consolation. For the Word of God says we are in this world, but we are not of it. I'm telling you tonight, to the folks, watch out of your surroundings. Watch about, these are the things that when they were in that battle, the surroundings killed more than the enemy. He don't have to kill you. He'll let your surroundings kill your spiritual walk with God. He don't have to take you out. He'll let your surroundings do it. Go ahead, get wrapped up in Hollywood. See how that blesses your spiritual walk with God. Well, I'll get involved in my surroundings. Then what are you going to testify to somebody about? How great a movie you watched? Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You got to think differently. The sister came to my house a couple weeks ago. Sit down at my table. Begin to tell me how God had been touching her and blessing her. Because all she could ever do before was she couldn't wait to get off of work to go home and watch movies. And now since she's got rid of that, she said she can think for herself like she's never done before. I'm telling you folks, God wants us to beware of what is happening in our surroundings. And don't think that I did this because of her, because I've been putting this together for a while. You ever hear of timing sometimes? I wanted to do it last week, but it wasn't the right time. We may have to live in these surroundings, folks, but this is just temporary. And someday, we are going to move into a real home for eternity. And never to worry about my surroundings anymore. But Satan, folks, he can try to open the floodgates and saturate my mind if he wants to. But I have a promise tonight that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up the standard against him. Stand here tonight. God's Spirit that is going to bring us out of the surroundings of this life. I don't care, folks, what your surroundings are. God wants to bring you out of them tonight. Peter on the day of Pentecost preached to the people who were blinded by their surroundings, who were blinded by their traditions. And his response was to them was this. He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourself tonight. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of what is stealing your time. Be aware of what is filling your head. Be aware of the fear that the devil is putting on you to keep you from being what God wants you to be. Be aware that he wants to rob you of a blessing of God and not give to the kingdom of God. He don't want you to invest in the kingdom. Folks, it's not possible to save. It is not possible to save ourselves. Hear me. Jesus is the only one who can pay the price for your salvation. Peter wasn't saying that we are to pay the price for our own salvation. He wasn't saying that to folks. He was saying, in order to be saved, you've got to respond to what Jesus has done for you. God wants to bring someone out of their battling surroundings tonight. And you've got to save yourself by responding to God. You got to respond to what he's talking to you tonight. You're here. You know the things you want. You know the time you spend doing things. You know that you're afraid to talk to somebody. You know that you're not giving like you should be. You know. But you've got to respond in the right manner. I'm telling you tonight, folks, God is speaking to some people here and saying your surroundings are going to mess with you. It's going to take you down. You know, we want to give the devil a lot of credit. Oh, the devil's doing this. The devil's no. You're allowing your surroundings to do it to you. Come on. I'm asking you tonight to step out and say, God, I'm tired of being in this mess. I'm tired of being in these woods. God, I want the victory in my life. Is there anybody here tonight that will respond to what God is telling you tonight in this house? Come on. Is there anybody here? Come on, this altar's open tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, let God bless you tonight.